have Captain Dom and Chef Hannah, currently chartering in the BVI on the power catamaran Mucho Gusto. We talk about orcas in the Bahamas, sailing the intercoastal, and sushi. This is Stephanie Lowry, and you're listening to the Songs in the Sails podcast. Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Yeah, great, thanks. Good, you?
Very good, very good. Where are you guys at?
We're in the British Virgin Islands. We're in Rhode Town currently, so it's the capital of BVI.
Very nice. Are you in Village Key or Nanny Key? Or
Village
either?
Key. Village Key.
Yeah. Just got some shopping in.
Very good. It's easy to park over there and then get around and do all the things.
Yes, Village Key's a little bit closer to the shops and everything. Nanny Key's a bit further out. But we use both. It all just depends on which is available for the time frame.
Right, right. Well, very good. Are you guys chartering there all season?
Yes, we're here until the end of July.
Okay. And are you going to go on holiday then, or will you go back to the Bahamas? Or do you have plans to go back to the Bahamas?
End of July, the plan is with the owners to slowly head back up north, back towards Florida, somewhere around August. So from July, our calendar sort of ends over here in BVI, and then we'll slowly do the trip back up with the owners on board. So, yeah.
Yeah, then we'll close the calendar. I mean, then we'll be doing hurricane season and yard work and everything for the next 2 or 3 weeks until we open back up in November.
Yeah, so the plan is we'll once we're back in Florida, we'll do shipyard. Like you said, take vacation for a month and a bit, and then be available from November basically again. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been decided where we're going to be. We might be in Bahamas again, or we may come back down to BVI.
Yeah. Did you guys do the intercoastal waterway last year with the owners? Did I see you doing that?
We did.
2022.
Last year. Yeah, we did. We went all the way up the East Coast. So we went to the whole Chesapeake Bay and up to Washington, D.C., actually.
It was epic. It was so cool.
It was a very big change from sort of the island cruising that we've mostly been doing.
Right.
We had to work on us for a while to do that trip, but we loved it.
Yes, we've talked about wanting to do a trip with Levi and his fans, because we're big fishermen and we love the intercoastal waterway fishing. And he's always wanted to do a trip with fans and go up the coast. And when I saw you were doing that, I thought, oh.
It was a really cool experience for us. Yeah. The trip just went great. The weather was great. It was, all around fantastic.
My favorite part was we were cruising one morning and Dom was like, oh my word, there's something in the water. So we're all like looking out like, probably a dolphin. He's like, oh my God, it's a dog. And we looked out and it was a bear, and it was a bear swimming across our bow from one side to the other.
In North Carolina, there was a bear that swam across right in front of the boat.
Right in front of the boat. We were like right over him and he was like, and they get to the other side. It was such a cool experience. So many cool things. Yeah,
that is really cool. Did you have a harder time keeping like the drains clean with the water, or no,
it was fine. I mean, we only spent one night at anchor actually by Shocktooth Island near Washington, up the Potomac towards Washington DC. And we actually found shark's teeth at that island. But yeah, we pretty much were in the marinas every evening, because there's just not many spots to be out at.
That makes sense.
So cool.
That is so cool. Any good fishing, or do you fish?
We do fish, but we didn't do any fishing along that trip. It was difficult to get the fishing licenses for each state.
So that makes sense.
Because we were moving constantly, it just didn't really work.
Every day we'd be going for at least like 5 hours. That was part of the fun as well. So beautiful.
Was that fun to provision along the way? Because I guess you'd have to go in
different places. We were just walking to whichever shop was closest, So when we get in at the marina, we'd have our owners on board and we would all just like get our steps in for the day and walk to Food Lion or whatever was available, So it was definitely an experience, but we ate out a lot along the way, all the like local seafood and oysters and all that kind of thing. So that was a really fun part of it as well.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay, sorry, I spent way longer on that than I intended, but I thought it was a really cool trip. I actually have so many questions about your little trips that you take, but I will leave that for later. How did you get started in the industry, or what did you do before the industry?
So I actually grew up playing competitive tennis as a junior, and I sort of, as I was getting to my teenage years, I sort of burnt out a little bit from the tennis scene, just because it was every day for 6 hours.
You discovered girls.
And I got into surfing, actually, because I did grow up on a coastal small town. And then that sort of transitioned into sailing and got interested in sailing smaller sailboats. And then my uncle actually sailed around the world. And I think that's sort of what ignited the passion. He owned a little sailboat and he went on a whole around the world adventure. And I was maybe 16, 17 at the time. And I'm just listening to his stories sort of ignited the passion for sailing at the time.
Got you into the industry?
Yeah, so that sort of started it. And then I started out in Mallorca in Spain and started out working on sailboats and did quite a few on Atlantic crossings and got the sea miles. And then, yeah, slowly progressed. And, well, now we've been on motor yachts for the last 6 or 7 years. But, yeah, it started out with sailing.
Very nice.
And I got into the industry through Dom. Surprise. I was studying. I had just finished school and I didn't really know what to do. So I was going to do a degree in brand building and communication. And I met Dom at the beginning of my first year. Just by chance, and then we kind of kept in contact, and I finished the year out, and then Dom was like, oh, do you want to travel India with me? And I was like, yes. And my parents are like, okay, but you have to come back and finish your degree. And I was like, yeah, you know. So we went and traveled India for 2 months, and then came back, went to the sign-up day, and then phoned my mom. I was like, Mom, can you come pick me up? Because I'm not going to do this anymore. And she's like, well, then you can walk home. So,
That's
then
I told her
I was getting into the industry. Yeah. And that was that. So here we are, like 12 years later.
11 years.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you had been doing this for 12 years. So where did you charter first together?
Well,
I started out in Mallorca and the Mediterranean, based out of Spain, and then the French Riviera and Greece. 2011, I started.
And I started end of 2012.
Okay. And you were both there together?
We worked on different boats at the beginning, we worked together, yeah. But it just worked out that, yeah, we weren't able to get a job together.
Well, Dom did try to get me a job on his boat, but I came in too hot and thought I was too good. And I wasn't, because I was going in as stewardess, right? So I'd done all my stewardess courses and got onto his boat, and his chief steward I just wasn't the right fit for that boat. So he managed to get me a job as a junior stewardess on a different boat.
Our first season actually in boating, I was based out of Mallorca and Anna was in Ibiza, on the two different boats basically. So we didn't see each other that occasionally, but
quick rendezvous.
A little afternoon delights here and there.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. What does your day look like as a captain and chef?
Okay. So basically I'll be the first one to get up before any of the guests, and I'll be setting up. I'll start getting my pastries ready, get the coffee machine going, set the table up outside. And then the guests are coming out. I get them coffees, and then Dom will get up and we'll. Recently, we've been doing workouts with guests. They've all wanted to do workouts, so we've been all doing workouts.
Yeah, we both enjoy doing a workout in the morning if we're able to, if guests are interested in it.
So I'll put together a quick plan for us, and we end up doing a workout out upstairs, and then come downstairs, do breakfast, get the guests sorted for breakfast. I'll be doing cabins once I've put breakfast out, and then Dom will be doing all the dishes and service, obviously. Someone's got to do that. And then after we clear up breakfast, then we'll either move the boats.
Yeah, so generally up until breakfast, it's I'll be assisting with service and helping clean everything up in the galley. And then after breakfast, we generally will move the boat, or if we're doing an activity in that location, depending what time we arrive there the previous day,
yeah,
we might go
like hiking
on an exploration to a beach or snorkeling,
yeah,
or wake all of the water sports, depending on the guest's interest. So it really varies every day to day. But generally, after breakfast and then after lunch in the afternoon is sort of activity time,
yeah,
or boat moving if we've already sort of.
Okay, so after breakfast, we would then move the boat generally, and then I'd be prepping underway. We would get to the spot. We'd either do a quick activity before lunch or go straight into doing lunch.
Every trip is a little bit different because we try to tailor it depending on the guest's interests and needs. So,
and how quick they like to eat, how quick the time period is.
How active they are, if they're wanting to more relax and just suntan on the boat and have drinks and cocktails versus doing activities and exploring. So it sort of changes every trip.
So
And then in the afternoon again there'll be activities, so water sports if anyone's interested, snorkeling, a beach setup, or just relaxing on the boat and having cocktails,
we'll do like maybe snacks, kind of 3-4 o'clock snacks, we'll probably go into dinner about 7-ish.
Depends on the guests again, every set of guests.
And then after dinner, depending on guests, some want to watch sports on TV, some want to play games, some want to go to the bars and drink. It just really depends on the guests.
In the evenings also, so I'll be up generally until, I stay up until the last person goes to bed. So Hannah, after dinner, we'll tear dinner up. And then Hannah sort of winds down because she has to be up early, normally around 6 or 6:30 to be up preparing breakfast and before anyone's up. And then I'll stay up until the last guest goes to sleep just to sort of shut down the boat and also do any cocktails or drinks that anyone's still maybe enjoying.
Right.
Dom loves the late night chats.
I bet. I feel like that's a bit of sarcasm, but...
No, it does.
No, he really does.
I'm definitely more of a night owl. Hannah likes to wake up early, and I generally like to stay up later.
Yeah, mental stimulation at night time, so it's great for him.
Very good. All right, what is your favorite chartering destination? And that doesn't have to be the BVI, like it can be anywhere.
I think every destination offers something. It's slightly different, but offers something that's really...
Okay, so what's your favorite?
BVI is one of my favorites. I really like Greece also when we were there. But BVI, I would say BVI is maybe one of my favorites.
I like Bahamas.
And you like the Bahamas, you do?
I love the Bahamas just because it's shallow everywhere and I can see the sandy floor. And there's a lot of like wildlife interactions. I guess for us, like that's probably... Yeah, BVI has so many different things to offer as well. And that's what I'm really enjoying about it as well, spending more time here and like getting to know the area. So I really, it's kind of hard,
it's just very different. It's very difficult to sort of pick one favorite because the BVI versus Bahamas or versus Greece, everything is so different and they offer so different Such experiences, a variety of things. So depending on the guests, they all can be amazing.
For sure. All right. Yeah. What is your favorite meal to make, Hannah?
So I get asked this a lot, obviously. Yeah. I don't have a particular meal that I like to make, but I feel like a lot of guests really enjoy sushi. And I love it when I can do an interactive sushi experience and teach people how to make it.
Often guests are interested in watching Hannah make all the sushi or even sometimes getting involved
and
trying to roll these sushi.
That's so much fun.
Stalking you on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, yeah.
I was like, Levi, look at this. Look what she made.
Yeah, that was the tasting menu, man. That took me like three, four days to prep that. So I was like, I was so ready to do it at that stage. And I was just trying to keep the guests going until midnight, right? Because not everyone wants to stay up. So I'm like, okay, let's do a 9-course tasting. And it's going to take us 2.5 hours to get through
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was sweating at the end of it.
I would love to. So every year for birthdays for my boys, we don't go out to eat anymore because it's just so much. I feel like you don't get to connect the way you do when I'll make their meal and make them a cake, whatever that is, like whatever the dessert is. Sometimes it's key lime pie or anyway. So,
yeah.
Which isn't really a birthday dessert in my mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, sure. But my son wanted sushi this year and I'm like, whoa, I can do a lot of things, but I'm not ready for that. It's like, let's do something else. So we just did fried rice, like hibachi style, but I want to learn.
Yeah, you know what? It's actually super easy. I think people don't give themselves enough credit. It's actually really easy. It just takes a lot of prep. So as long as you've got all of your prep down, that's,
Hannah's a prep champion.
I'm prep champion. And you know what? There's actually been a couple of chefs over here that have said, Hannah, I've seen your sushi. Can you teach me how to make it? So I'm actually going to teach a couple of the chefs over here how to make it in the next couple of days as well. Yeah, I'm super excited. It's fun.
That's really cool. Yeah. What is your favorite food that she makes, Dom?
Oh.
I like everything.
Tread lightly.
No, I must say I really enjoy salads. So.
Okay.
I know that sounds, maybe it sounds funny, but I do enjoy a good salad.
No. He grew up on a farm where he could pick his own lettuce and all of that kind of thing. So he loves, he's inclined towards.
No, but I like all, I mean, and lamb actually is. Lamb is my favorite. Probably my favorite.
Well, it's not like you're just giving him lettuce. You make them fun and festive, I'm sure. They're always full of these goodies where I'm over here like, I'm going to make a salad and I like dump a mix and it's trash. You know, it's like, it's just not the same.
Another thing we always get asked as well, I guess, is does Dom eat this way all the time? Like, even when you don't have guests on board. I'm like, no, I'm not making Dom steak and lobster for dinner every night. Like, look at him, he's skinny. He doesn't get fed off jada. So funny.
You're making good foods that are healthy for the both of you. So that's...
Yeah. We like to eat super light and we do like to eat at home as well. It's really difficult finding places.
It's hard when we go out to restaurants. We are often disappointed.
Oh, it's so disappointed.
Because it's always better.
Because you're a foodie and you've been treated really well. So now when you go other places, it's hard. Yeah.
It's difficult to go out.
No.
I understand. We go to places and we're trying to look up on like their reviews, and that is super relative to where you are.
Even still, like our friends over here invited us out for a birthday dinner the other day to a sushi restaurant, and we went there and we're like, oh, this is the sushi. Like, you know what I mean? We can make it so much better on the phone.
Yes. Definitely relative to where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your favorite dive or snorkel spot?
Okay, I have two. I'm answering first. So in the Bahamas, I really love, to anybody who watches this, this is not corny. I just love this spot. Wadrick Wells.
Yeah.
In the Bahamas. We've had so many cool experiences there. Some like, at one point we had like 9 huge eagle rays cruise past us and just swim around and like I got like so good.
Yeah, we were able to swim with them for quite a period.
And then there's the sharks there and lobsters there, and on a good day it's super clear in the water so you can see the entire coral garden. Like that's my favorite. And my favorite spot in the BBI has probably been Mountain Point. I don't think I snorkeled that spot last time we were in the BDIs, and it is incredible.
There's lots of different corals,
so many fish, so healthy, so alive.
I think with snorkel spots, I enjoy every time I go in the water. So every spot offers something slightly different, and you also never know what you're going to see. Every time you jump in, it's sort of a surprise because you could actually see anything, really. So
Tom has commitment issues. He doesn't like to pick one spot.
I love all the spots.
Them to feel special, all of them.
Every time. No, but sometimes you can snorkel the same spot from one day to the next. Inevitably, we do.
Correct,
and with different guests or different trips. And sometimes one spot can be amazing and then you go there a week later and we don't see nearly what we saw the previous time. So every time it's a new experience and it's exciting.
I agree. When I go diving, it's the same. Even if I've done the same spot multiple times, it's always different every time.
Yes.
Yeah. What is your favorite activity on charter? Like a water sport or
I love water sports. I love showing the guests a good time.
And teaching water sports.
And teaching them also. So I'm really good on a slalom, so on water skis and then wakeboard and surfing. And I grew up doing all of those things with surfing and so on. So I enjoy, if the guests are able and are interested in it, then I love to take them or teach them if they haven't done it before and are learning. So it's quite rewarding.
I would say freediving. I love teaching guests. That's my, I mean, I
we both, we both really enjoy freediving.
I don't get out that often, but when I do, like, I do love to try and teach the guests how to hold their breath properly, how to equalize properly, and like, yeah, try and train them to do deeper dives and for longer.
Well, what's your favorite activity? Working out.
And I like to work out with the guests as well. It's really fun. I'm like, yes, somebody to work out with today.
So, what kind of workouts? Even earlier and works out.
Yeah, otherwise I'll wake up early and do it before.
What workouts do you do with them? Yoga or weights or what?
Actually, no. I wish I could do yoga. That's definitely on my list of training that I would like to do. But no, I just follow a kind of weight and aerobic and Pilates kind of program. So whatever the guests are kind of able to do or want to do. Right. Usually they have their own programs or, have a preference. So we just go with that.
Mm. Do you pair it with like keto or Whole30 or whatever?
Definitely. Not a specific diet, but a lot of the guests that we have on are like maybe low carb or gluten free or dairy free. So I usually would make meals that are very kind of healthy. And
I mean, the diet, it varies. Every set of guests with a preference sheet, Hannah will make whatever, if they feel like burgers and hot dogs. Then
definitely. I definitely have, people that just want to just relax on holiday and just have food that's comforting, then absolutely
nice do
that
cocktail,
as well.
Yeah.
Good old pina colada.
Yeah. I'm the cocktail.
Dom deals with cocktails. Always. Someone asked me the other day, they were like, oh, Hannah, can we get a cocktail? I was like, sure, speak to Dom.
What is your favorite cocktail?
I don't really have I don't really drink that much. So it's not like I'm drinking the cocktail. So,
well, what are your guests like? What do you find that your guests like the most?
Margaritas are often a popular one.
This way. Okay, he makes a really mean guava margarita with a tangerine rum. It's so good. And then he's also really good at Cosmos. He's got that waxed as well, because our owner is a big fan of Cosmos. So we've got that waxed. And then the other cocktails you do.
I mean, I'll make whatever the guests are interested in. I actually went to bar school. I learned how to make cocktails for 28 days.
You did
in London. I did a cocktail course like 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. At the time, we had a break from yachting, and it was just something that I was interested in. So I did a whole course. I can't remember everything. Obviously, it's been a while. But
it was a very intense course.
It was,
and there was a lot of drinking, as you can imagine.
I bet. That's very cool. Yeah. What is your favorite charter memory?
So we have multiple. I mean, all of our charters have made it a really like nice impression on us, throughout the years. We did have a really cool experience once with the whales.
Oh, yeah. So once we were heading from Florida to Bahamas to Nassau, and we were about 20 miles offshore just before Nassau, and off on the port side, I was driving from upstairs and it was a really flat, calm day. And off on the port side, there was just movement and something in the water. So I decided to move the boat and sort of head a bit closer, kind of go off course to just kind of investigate and see what is going on there. I thought it was maybe sharks feeding or something. And as we got closer, we just saw it was actually orcas, so killer whales that were breaching and jumping out of the water. There was a whole pod of them. And where we were able was to it? Float.
Just 20 miles off Nassau.
Yeah, it was just off Nassau, and it was in the deep water, and they were just jumping, and we were able to pretty much float with them for over half an hour and just observe them. I flew the drone, so I was able to get amazing footage of them with the boat in the background.
That's geographic drone footage.
Yeah.
You know what? We actually submitted all of this footage to the I think it's Bahamas Marine Mammal Organization or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a famous Dr. Austin Gallagher picked up on that.
They wrote a whole article about
footage, and they actually wrote a whole scientific paper on their behavior, and like with it. Because all the whales were coming up at the same time and like
they were jumping
and their tails.
That's so neat.
An incredible experience. Incredible.
I wonder if there's a. Sorry, go.
We've had lots of different experiences like that with not with whales. Well, we have actually seen pilot whales.
Question is it in that spot? Because I was watching yesterday or a couple of days ago, there's Julia, the boat that charters in the Bahamas. Okay. And I might be saying that wrong. I'm really notorious for botching boat names. But it was coming, I think, from Fort Lauderdale or the Florida area going back to charter. And they had a whole pod of pilot whales almost in Nassau. So I wonder if that's like a crossing.
I think they moved through the deep water just sort of on the western side of Nassau.
It was incredible, and the feedback we got from the organization was that, oh my word, they haven't seen this pod of whales in 11 years, and they could tell it was the same pod because of the spots all there.
It was such a surprise, because we thought that orcas were more cold water mammals, but apparently they do come past that area occasionally, and we're just very lucky.
And I think the reason one of the the findings from the scientific paper was that because the Bahamas is a shark sanctuary, they were actually hunting,
right?
So there's such a high.
They were teaching the younger, so that they established that the bigger whales were teaching the younger, smaller ones on sort of how to hunt and how to farm the fish.
So cool.
That's really cool.
We did have a really cool experience. The turtle also, yes. But no, with a hammerhead shark.
Oh yeah.
So we were anchored, and we took that. We only had two guests on board, and we decided to go for a little sunset sort of cruise to a little beach to have a little walk. And as we were approaching the beach in the tender, there was just a fin that was out of the water in the shallows, so basically knee deep. And it was sort of going along, and we were, again, interested. So we slowly came closer, and we just saw this huge shark that was basically beaching itself, trying to hunt little turtles, I guess, that were in that area.
Wow.
And we were, again, able to follow it for about half an hour as he was swimming in the shallows. Then he went into the deeper water, and we were also able to get amazing footage of it just swimming along with the boat, basically. Wow. Yeah.
What kind of shark?
And then
was
our last one, I was a hammerhead.
Oh,
a
hammerhead.
So there's it's super rare to see them, actually. And one of our other really cool things was we were sitting, we were having dinner one night. So the guests were having dinner, and then there was some splashing going around. I don't know. We were looking at the fish behind the boat, like the barracudas or whatever. This is in the Bahamas again. And then all of a sudden, like in the distance, we have the blue lights that shine in the water at nighttime. We saw this like big round thing moving. I mean, we know it's a turtle, right? So the kids were like, oh my word, can we go in? And I was like, oh my word, I'm coming in with you as well. So we went.
It was just after dinner.
So we went snorkeling, like slowly, like swimming up to it. And it was a turtle that must have been like the biggest turtle I've ever seen, which is saying something, because I've seen a lot of turtles in my time. And we just swam with this old boy. He was just coming up for air and then going down again. And we were just swimming around with him in the dark. And it was so cool to see something so big. That's a turtle so big, because I know that with the amount of sharks,
eating them. That is really neat. What is interesting and unique about you as a crew?
I Sarah, we have a really good rapport. Dom and I have a really good rapport, and we're really, like, we banter a lot. So I feel like the guests love to get involved in that.
Well, sometimes.
But... yeah, and we have a good sense of humor, I would say, as well. What else is special?
We both... quite big in exploring, so outside of yachting, we've done quite a lot of exploring. We've hiked in the Himalayas, hiked up to Everest Base Camp, actually. We've hiked the Appalachian Trail.
We recently did a 30-day hike, and we did kind of the Virginia Strait, half of Virginia, of the Appalachian Trail. So that was kind of that was pretty hectic, going from like beach and sandy, you know, to like forest
and mountain. It was a nice change.
Yeah, it was a really nice change. But
I'm really glad you brought it up, because I was wanting to ask about it. I was stalking you then too. I don't mean to seemingly stalk you, but it just pops up and then I'm like, what?
We love it. You know what? So many of our friends are like, we're so sad that you're done with your hike, because we're following your story every day. It was so important for us to have phone battery the whole time, so we could document it for our parents and friends and family. It was incredible.
Are you going to go back and do more?
Dom is itching to do
I would
it
like
now.
To, if we get a chance to, in our next holiday, maybe, or if we get a chance to. But it's difficult to align everything up, also with trying to go home and also visit parents and spend time with friends, because that is a very difficult thing. In yachting, you are quite isolated from land-based friends and family, obviously.
We would do it, definitely. We just would have to decide which stretch to do next, you know.
Do you have a crazy broker story, or you don't want to say that one either?
We had a broker try and book a charter that was going to be... It was a regular 7-day charter, but then... she wanted us to take them
like 600 miles.
600 miles. And, you know, she kind of gave that itinerary to the guests. And when we saw that, we were like, oh no.
Yeah.
We're not going to be stopping anywhere at this rate, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it can be a little bit tricky with brokers or with guests and what they get promised sometimes, because some things are just not possible, or it wouldn't make a fun trip if we're just traveling for 5-6 hours every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
In the open ocean. Yeah, there's nothing fun about that, you know? Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's kind of been our crazy, I wouldn't say it's crazy, but that's been our kind of hardest situation where we've had to kind of explain to the guests that we're not going to.
Right. Well, it's just an unrealistic expectation if you want to have a good time.
Exactly.
And also, it's something that wouldn't be enjoyable, because it's not fun to be driving the whole day, basically.
Yeah.
So you want to enjoy the spots and the destination also.
It's kind of the same in Greece, you know, when people want to leave out of Athens and they want to go to Santorini and they want to go to all the places. And you're like, well, no, otherwise all you're doing is sailing or, you know, whatever. It's like, let's do one way, like trying to do a round trip, especially. It's like, it's not happening unless you want to go for a longer time. But it's just, that's why we're supposed to help them understand that. But we work together with you guys.
And I mean, if they want to charter for longer, then perfect, we can do it.
Yeah.
But can't do that in a week, so.
Right.
Yeah.
But BVI is nice in that way that everything is generally less than 20 miles away. So even if we're going to the further points, it's less than an hour travel at the moment. So it is great in that sense.
Yeah.
Although I did have somebody want to do BVI, go all the way to Martinique and come back and end in the BVI. And I was like, no, we're not going to do that. Sorry, guys.
That's I'm like so grateful for brokers for handling that kind of situation. Like, please just set their expectations, because,
Well, even when I send preference sheets to crew, I want to make sure that we're on the same page so that I can talk to them for you, right? So, but that's, I mean, most of us, I was trained that way, so I feel like a lot of us do that. But then there are some that I knew that don't know what they're doing, and unfortunately, it gets...
We've had preference sheets saying, like, the guest has filled out the preference sheets that get sent to us, where it's like, would you like a fresh newspaper every day? Would you like your flowers refreshed every day? And I'm thinking, like,
When are you gonna get a newspaper?
Right, I can print it out on the from the internet, maybe. Like, there's your fresh newspaper, but that's silly. Or even fresh flowers, that's silly. Like, they should be fine.
I mean, we're a 65 account.
Yeah. Again, an unrealistic expectation. Maybe that's something they offer in a different area or boat. Or
maybe I think it's just outdated also sometimes. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
Maybe bigger boats can offer that, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. Well, I appreciate you guys for coming on. I had a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, lovely to chat to you, Stephanie.
Yes, maybe we can come back together another time and we could have a sushi, mini sushi class, because I'm like really wishing I was in the islands and I want to come watch.
100%. I'll send you the spreadsheet and then we can do.
Thank you for tuning in to the Songs in the Sales podcast. We thrive because of listeners and viewers like you. Please like, subscribe, share, and leave us a review. If you have comments and questions, please send us an email, yachtcharters@songsinthesales.com. Now, come sail away.